Welcome to the Six Ways to Sunday podcast, hosted by award-winning television director, documentary filmmaker, author, and speaker Craig D. Forrest. Join Craig for the next few minutes as he interviews leaders, artists, and creatives about trends and insights shaping our digital world and faith-based media. This podcast is produced and brought to you by Matchstick Media International. Now, here's Craig.
Welcome back to our conversation with Josh Summers, who's based in Asia, a media creative. Let's get back into the interview where we left it off last time. I have a wonderful friend. I don't talk to him often enough, Jeff Lamucci. He was on a few episodes back. He does audiobooks, and he was the voice of Bakersfield, California, Jeff Lamucci. Here's the news with Jeff Lamucci. You know, from 5 o'clock in the morning until 11. And he's been there for decades. And he got into not only doing voiceovers, but doing audiobooks, which have exploded completely into millions of episodes of audiobooks are being sold now. And originally, I was told audiobooks came about for people who were blind, so that they could listen to a book rather than read. They still like to read it by Braille, I found out. They prefer it. But they would listen to a book, the audio version of it, and then people started, sighted people began to pick that up and would listen to books on long drives and commutes in cars and on airplanes and such. And so audiobooks became popular too. And I just think that's incredible. And in some ways, podcasts and audiobooks are almost cousins of each other. The difference is one is written fiction and nonfiction. The other is a conversation or sometimes like a talk show. Now you have a podcast or a couple. Oh, in fact, let's make a little right turn here, left turn. You have a couple of channels on YouTube. One's about Bible memory, and the other one is about securing intellectual property and all your information. Talk a little bit about either one of those that you want and how they come about, how they came about, how you create them, what your audiences are, and just take it, go with it, what you want.
Sure. So actually both of those brands, Bible Memory Goal and All Things Secured, came from my experience in China, which my experience in China was both wonderful and really hard all at the same time. I'm sure that, you know, anybody has had those kind of experiences with things, not just China, but, you know, those things that are like good, but also difficult. And, you know, part of that was we were living in a region of China that was under heavy surveillance, lots of cameras, lots of just police everywhere. And it was very like in your face. I think this kind of surveillance happens all over the world, but in this particular place, it was just really in your face. And so it kind of brought to the top my desire for at least a little bit of privacy. And, you know, thinking about, wait, you know, can they read any of my emails? You know, is what I text secure? Is it in learning about encryption? You know, in China, there's a lot of blocking of internet, you know, Facebook and all that stuff. So learning about VPNs, all this stuff. And so all of that experience and a lot of what I had to learn through that, I turned into basically this All Things Secured brand where I'm just taking what I'm learning and then, you know, I'm doing a lot of research on things. I did a lot of research on, let's say, encrypted email services and then writing about that. And then eventually later, as we, you know, we've talked about turning that into a YouTube channel that is, you know, for me, a lot more fun. I think even as we're moving into this era of AI generated content, ChatGPT, Google Bard and all that stuff, there's a lot of fear that written material is kind of be commoditized. And I'm not completely sure that's going to be the case, but it does definitely move me towards this feeling that, hey, creating a connection with my audience through YouTube or through a podcast, that's where the value is going to be, because now hopefully my audience can trust me. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about security. Security is almost entirely based on trust. And so if I can, you know, present myself as a trustworthy figure on a place like YouTube, then that audience will hopefully respond to that well. And so that's where all things security came in. For Bible Memory Gold, and I don't want to, Craig, I don't want to go too deep unless you really want to hear it, but I actually had an experience in a Chinese prison where they took everything from me. I'd been taking pictures, you know, in this, again, very sensitive region. And so the police took me in. I hadn't done anything wrong, but they were very concerned about what I'd been doing. And so they stripped everything from me. Camera, phone, all that stuff, and then put me in a cell. And I didn't know how long I was going to be there. It ended up being like about 8 to 10 hours that I was in that prison cell. But it really got me thinking about, you know, what it like if I had to be here for a long time, what do I have at my disposal, right? They're not going to give me a TV. They're not going to give me any of my devices. Like, it's only just me and my thoughts. And when I started doing inventory of memories and things that I could be thinking about, one of the things that came up, obviously, as someone who's grown up as a follower of Jesus is, hey, how many verses have I, what have I memorized? What can I draw out that I could reflect on, that I could meditate on during this time? And I'll tell you, Craig, I was really embarrassed by the fact that I could maybe come up with 20 verses that I could like recite word for word. And coming out of that experience, thankfully they let me out. I hadn't done anything wrong, but they let me out, and I decided, you know, this is something that I really value. If I believe what I really believe in this, and if I really think that this is God's word, then there's value in memorizing it. I don't think that everybody has to have entire books of the Bible memorized, but I do think that there's value in knowing what you believe and being able to recall the verses that back that up. And so that's where Bible Memory Goal was born. I decided, you know, I want to just kind of document my journey of memorizing. I decided I wanted, like, I just set this like BHAG, this really big goal of memorizing the New Testament. And it's going to take me a decade, right? It's going to take me a long time, you know, if the Lord even allows me to get to the point where I have it all memorized. But I'm now 10 books in, and the whole, you know, taking and doing this YouTube channel and this podcast is just me kind of documenting my failures and my successes and talking with other people who are further down the line than I am and learning their techniques and what they do and what's been inspiring and encouraging to them and then trying to pass that along. Before we even started recording this, Craig, you were talking about how you love being able to take your decades of experience and kind of pass that along to other people. And I feel like that's kind of what I'm doing, where the longer that I do this in scripture memory and memorizing the Bible, I love being able to inspire others to follow suit and doing the same. And that's where both of those brands kind of came about.
Excellent. I, listening to you talking about prison for a short time in memory, I'm a pastor's kid, and also I'm a media missionary of sorts. Mm-hmm. And I think in the Western world, we as Christians sometimes take the Bible far too casually in the sense of, you know, we have our devotions. We're okay. We've read our scripture for the day, maybe read a devotional book, but we don't realize how important the scripture is. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I still remember that from Sunday school many decades ago as a young boy. And it just came back to me right this very second. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I think we don't take that as seriously as we should. That's a whole nother topic we could probably talk about another time. And you're trying to address that. Good, good, good. Now, these two YouTube channels, All Things Secured and Bible Memory Goal, could not be more different from each other, correct?
Yeah, definitely very different audiences, very different, you know, content styles. Absolutely. Yeah, very different.
So one of them becomes monetized, the secular one, because you have over a million subscribers, if I read it right, for that one, All Things Secured. And some of the monies that come from that many subscribers help to fund the missions part and the nonprofit part of what you do. Talk about that. How does that work?
Yeah, well, let me back up real quick and make sure that it's clear. I actually only have like a quarter million subscribers, but it's millions of views. So that's really what matters. I think there's a lot of vanity metrics when you're talking about social media, online distribution platforms. And one of those vanity metrics, the biggest one for YouTube, is subscriber count. I've seen channels that have a million subscribers, but they only generate, you know, a couple thousand views a day because they're just old, or there was one video that just really exploded and drove subscriber growth. So I don't necessarily judge a YouTube channel anymore by the number of subscribers it has. It's more by the daily views that the channel as a whole brings in. And so, you know, All Things Secured, as you pointed out, is kind of the one that makes the most money. They're both monetized, but that's the one that makes the most money. And most of it comes from the fact that, you know, the channel generates about 30 to 60,000 views a day, which, you know, even to this day, just kind of blows my mind. It's all over the world. It's a, you know, it's a global platform, and those views are monetized both by YouTube, right, with its ad program. And then as well, I do sponsorships with different companies that'll sponsor, you know, a video that I do. And then I've also got affiliate links. If I'm talking about, you know, different programs or different products, I'll put links to those. And then if somebody purchases that, I will get a commission off of that sale. That's affiliate sales. And all of that kind of together, I'd say that, you know, I'm not sure if this is of interest to you and your audience, but, you know, for the YouTube channel itself, I'd say that the AdSense revenue, the revenue that comes from YouTube, only makes up about 20% of the total revenue brought in by All Things Secured. Sponsorships is really taking a larger chunk of that now. It depends month to month how many sponsorships I decide to take. But really, it's the affiliate side that has generated a lot of, I don't want to call it passive income, but it's definitely not as active as what I need to do for, you know, sponsorships. And that really has driven a lot of the success of that particular channel and allowed me to, you know, support myself and my family where we're at here in Thailand, and then to be able to do these more passion projects like Bible Memory Goal, or, you know, like you and I met at this conference, and being able to, you know, share at those conferences. I did, you know, I was able to be a trainer on one of the tracks and do that kind of stuff, and not necessarily worried about whether it's a paid, you know, whether they're paying me to do that, because thankfully God has blessed me with a, you know, this business that supports what we're able to do and to do that well.
Excellent. For the group of older Christian leaders that listen to Six Ways to Sunday podcast, and by the way, anyone that's just joined us or jumped this far into the conversation, we're talking to Josh Summers, who's a media creative based in Asia, has spent a good chunk of his adult life in Asia, working and translating and ministry and everything that he does with media as well. Welcome to all of you, to Josh Summers. One of my greatest challenges, we were talking before we went on to record, is persuading church leaders, ministry leaders, that social media has value to it more than just the Sunday morning service that they do and getting that out to YouTube. What would you say to church leaders as to creative ways that they can reach out into the marketplace with their church or their ministry through media? Do you have some ideas on that?
Yeah. I don't do this often, but I've consulted with different media organizations or ministries and stuff. And one of the things that I tend to ask, and it's an important question, but strangely, it's one that a lot of people don't know the answer to immediately, is where is your audience, right? Like, if you can define who your audience is, then the next question down from that is where is your audience? And chances are, even if you are, you know, a church with an older demographic, or a ministry that has people that are in the older, you'd be surprised. A lot of these are on these social platforms. And if you want to reach them in their day-to-day life, then using those platforms isn't, it's not optional. But the problem is that we don't all know how to, like, you don't want to just spread yourself too thin by trying to do everything on every platform. And especially because it feels close to impossible, but it doesn't have to necessarily be done by, you know, one person, or even be completely, you know, what would you say, sponsored or done by the church itself. There's a gentleman that I'm friends with out in, I think it's South Dakota. I don't exactly know where the church is, but he was like an associate pastor or a youth pastor or something at the church, and just started doing TikTok on the side. And they gave him the blessing to just, oh, hey, you know, you're somebody who maybe understands this better than we do. And so go for it, you know, just do what you do on TikTok, put it on Instagram. Just make sure that you're obviously still caring for the people that are your responsibility here at the church. And so he started doing that. Within a year, like, he had 1 million followers on TikTok, and they literally decided at one point that they were going to move him. Like he kind of stays under the leadership of the church, but he's now what they're calling, it sounds really weird, I know, but they're calling him a digital missionary, where he uses,
well, that's okay,
his ability.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Oh, no, I agree with you, but you'd be surprised. I've gotten some looks from people, especially actual missionaries. When I say the word digital missionary, you know, kind of like this, oh, you get, it has to be in person. No, like, especially when we're talking about reaching hard to reach places, a lot of times digital is the only way that that's possible. And I think a lot of ministries and churches don't realize how much some of their content might even be consumed in some of these hard to reach places, you know, whether that is in, you know, the Central Asia or China or Africa or some of these other places, like they are looking for this good content. And if you have it available, I'm all constantly shocked at how, when I look at my analytics for YouTube and even for the podcast, like, how in the world did somebody in Lithuania find my podcast? Or like, how, why is somebody in Albania watching my YouTube channel? You know, all of these questions. But it is like these distribution platforms make that possible. And that is probably the number one reason why I think it's so valuable to at least find somebody in your congregation or somebody that's on staff that has a passion for doing that, and just give them the permission to test things out, to try it out. It doesn't have to work. Maybe it won't, but it's worth trying. Hey, can we pull clips from our Sunday sermons and maybe just, you know, do little snippets that get put out on TikTok or Instagram, or can we, I don't know. There's a lot of different ideas that you could come up with, but I'm sure, you know, you've got plenty of those ideas as well, Craig.
Learning a lot from Josh Summers, media creative, and it's been a joy to listen to him. Hope you will join us on the other side in the next episode. We'll listen to you then.
You've been listening to the Six Ways to Sunday podcast with Craig D. Forrest, brought to you by Matchstick Media International, dedicated to excellence in media through inspiration, vision, and education. To learn more, visit us on the web at matchstickmedia.org. That's matchstickmedia.org. Your generous donations, large or small, help defray costs for producing this creative podcast. Thanks for listening and subscribing.